time for Arthur Schwartz, the Food Maven.
I'm feeling mighty lonesome, haven't slept a wink. I walk the floor and watch the door, and in between I drink black coffee.
Be feeling that lonesome for Valentine's Day. Good morning, Arthur.
Well, I don't know. Coffee is sort of
yes.
Like salt is to most food. Coffee is to chocolate. And chocolate is a Valentine's food, it seems. There's chocolate hearts everywhere I look. So it's not so bad. It's better than some of the holiday decorations. So, hello, everybody.
Hello, happy Valentine's Day.
Happy whatever. Is Wednesday?
It's
Wednesday.
February 14th, it always is.
There are signs up in all the restaurant windows about Valentine's Day specials, but may I say, next to Mother's Day, Valentine's Day is at the top of the bad days to go out to eat. And as any waiter or waitress will I'm supposed to say server now, as any server will tell you, the tension in the dining room on Valentine's Day is almost... let's not do metaphors. It's too early in the morning.
No, it's just.
But it's not a good time. Plus, the restaurants, you know, there are probably some neighborhood restaurants where you get a very nice meal on Valentine's Day, and maybe even a special price because you're taking a package. But usually, they pump up the price. The place is crowded. There's all that tension in the room because everybody's, you know, wanting, they have to have this romantic evening, and it's not going to happen.
No, and it's funny. You have to go, as a regular person, you can figure it out the first go round, but certainly
Stay home and eat chocolate.
Okay.
Which I think a much better proposition. And as everybody knows who listens, I'm diabetic, or as my doctor tells me, on the edge, but I'm still super careful, and certainly about sugar. I eat fruit, but I don't eat added sugar usually. But I recently realized, I mean, I've always known this, but I realized, or known for many, many years, chocolate is a low-sugar dessert treat. Not a Hershey's bar, okay? Not a Reese's peanut butter cup. But a good dark chocolate has fewer carbohydrates, less sugar than almost anything you can eat for dessert, including fruit, by the way. So
yum. I'm in good shape here because the darker,
so
the better.
So if you want to indulge in something, I think chocolate's a great thing to indulge in on Valentine's Day. If you're not concerned at all about sugar, then you can buy all kinds of filled bonbons. But then, I want to say that the fillings of non-sugary bonbons, I don't know what to call them.
What?
Bonbons?
Yeah, bonbons.
Individual candies.
The things that you
like
always...
Like the truffle, like chocolate truffle ones. I would inquire about what's in a chocolate truffle. If it's in a box, it's going to be labeled so you can read it.
Right.
But if you buy it in a chocolate shop, inquire. I'm not saying that chocolate is low calorie, by the way, because there's certainly a sizable fat content to most sugar. But on the other hand... a dark sugar, besides having very little sugar, has usually a lot of fiber.
All right, so a couple quick questions.
You can really feel virtuous. Hello?
Yeah, you can really feel virtuous if you, in moderation, like dark chocolate.
Right, exactly. So one of the best for me is Lindt. It's also because it's so readily accessible to everybody. It's everywhere. So I never worry. I'm not going to find a chocolate I like. Right. By the way, in my neighborhood, in some of the markets here, they actually have, like, they have beer departments, they have chocolate departments.
Oh, they have
racks of I don't know how many brands of chocolate in all their various cocoa contents. Now, Lindt Excellence is 90% cocoa. By the way, the Lindt products all have in enormous numbers the percentage of cocoa in the bar. And of course, the more cocoa, the less room there is to have sugar. So
I have in my fridge at this moment the Lindt 90 million percent dark chocolate, and
it's
the
not,
Lindt
I think
coconut.
The top one is 90%.
Then that's what I've got, and then the Lindt coconut, which is just happens to be really good.
Oh, Lindt coconut.
Yeah, dark with coconut.
Oh, I probably have seen it, but I haven't picked it up.
What I was interested,
but the Lindt cocoa 90% cocoa bar, the whole bar is 100 grams. And if you eat a half a bar, it's very satisfying.
Ugh.
Ugh, what? No, you can't eat just a half a bar?
No. I can't. It is so dark to me that I basically can eat a couple of squares. Or it doesn't
well, that's
break
what it is.
Squares.
It ends up being, I think, 4 squares on the Lindt bar. And anyway, 2 squares is actually satisfying.
But what There's I was... Enough- I just want to interject, I'm sorry, because I was at Citarella the other day. I happened to be on the Upper West Side, and I looked at their chocolate rack, and they didn't have Lindt. They were definitely Valrhona and Ghirardelli and this.
Well, Valrhona, to me, is a notch above Ghirardelli, but I wouldn't throw either of them out of my kitchen.
Okay.
I am really lucky. I only discovered this recently. But my – and by the way, I have not noticed that – a chocolate is very expensive. There was a period there where I had, chocolate I thought had gotten pretty expensive. But you can get a Lindt bar for under $3. So anyway, by the way, besides consuming chocolate as chocolate, here's a little hint. I learned this many years ago from a person who represented the chocolate industry. And she went around and taught food editors, such as myself, how to taste professionally chocolate. Now I don't do this very often, but with very dark chocolate, you put it on your tongue and you let it sit there for a while until it gets a little bit melty, and you don't chew it, you don't like really work it yet, and then when you have it a little melty, and it's sort of sticking a little bit to the roof of your mouth, you go, and you can even go a little snorty, and you'll get the real deep flavors of the chocolate. It'll also distract you from the fact that it's not sweet.
Right.
So anyway, how to consume this chocolate, other than just eating as a bar, Bob and I go to this neighborhood restaurant. It's Austrian. They have very good schnitzel, but that's not what I eat there. Bob has the same thing because he's habitual. He eats the fried cod, like a cod schnitzel, with schnitzel sides like potato salad, which they do particularly well here. It's a mayonnaise potato salad, but it's very light, and a cucumber salad, and they make great tartar sauce. Anyway, the reason I'm mentioning this place, Steinhop, it's called, on 7th Avenue in Park Slope, is the owner used to be a pastry chef, and he makes sensational desserts, including a chocolate, he calls it custard, we call it pot au creme, or pot au creme, which is you cook eggs and sugar with cream to make a custard. That's what a custard is eggs, thickening, cream, or other dairy product. You make a custard, and then you add the custard to melted chocolate and cream, and a little bit extra cream. So I have to, one of these days, maybe Paul will share that recipe with me. I did go online, and there are a number of chocolate Paul au creme recipes, as you can imagine, on the internet. So I'm going to try one of them. But I recently made chocolate mousse. Let me repeat. These are not diet foods.
Right.
They're just low in sugar. they're high in fat. So if you're really concerned about fat, I don't know. So this is less fat, is chocolate pudding. And I have never turned my nose up at a good chocolate pudding. And I am looking for my chocolate pudding here. I know it's here.
Now, do you like chocolate pudding, just out of curiosity? I happen to like, I'll just start with, I like chocolate mousse or pot au creme far more than I like chocolate pudding. But
as a cook, let me just tell you, the pudding is super easy.
I understand.
And the others require some effort. And, you know, I what happened was, I don't know what got into me, but I have a cake. There's a very, very, very famous Brooklyn cake called a blackout cake.
Right.
It was originally made by Ebbinger's, and it is filled and iced, actually, with chocolate pudding. These days, if you get what they now call Brooklyn blackout cake, it could be anything as long as it's all chocolate. But in this case, in the real case, and I have this recipe in New York City Food, because it is a legendary recipe, I make a pudding to fill it and ice it with. And it turns out to be maybe the best pudding I make, and I have a lot of recipes for pudding. And so this is the only one I make now, and it has no eggs. So it's 1 1/3 cups of ordinary granulated sugar, 4 tablespoons of cornstarch. You know, pudding, by American definition, is a cornstarch pudding. You can have rice pudding, but then we put the word rice ahead of it to distinguish it. By the way, I sometimes put cornstarch in my rice pudding. But anyway, so it's 1 1/3 cups of granulated sugar, 4 tablespoons of cornstarch, 1/2 teaspoon of salt, 3 cups of milk. So, you know, it's not like Paul au creme, which is like
20 cups of
all cream,
right.
You know, it's really high fat. And chocolate mousse, even though you're lightening it up with whipped cream, it's still a lot of cream. This is milk, and 6 ounces, now, of unsweetened chocolate. In other words, not even your 90%, unsweetened chocolate. Now, if you want to go use your old-fashioned baker's chocolate, fine with me. I do not have disdain for old-fashioned squares of baker's chocolate, and in fact, I found that people who are accustomed to that taste, and the same thing with Nestle's chocolate bits, you know, for cookies, etc., that people who grew up with those flavors want to see those flavors in their food.
Or taste it. So, you know, just my mother used to make fudge, and she always used Hershey's unsweetened chocolate and the sugar, and it was just, you know, it was so creamy, so good, so delicious. But the point is,
that flavor you want.
It's that flavor.
Now, if you start tasting chocolates, as I have been lately, because I'm trying to center in on my favorite low-carb, low-sugar chocolate, so yeah, and there's so many chocolates around, you find the flavors. I'm not talking about the intensity or the sweetness. The actual flavors vary dramatically, and I happen to like. I've now discovered I happen to like funky chocolate flavors. There are chocolates that have more domesticated, let's call it, aroma and flavor, but I happen to like the jungly ones. So pudding is easy. Pudding is very, very easy. You take a saucepan. For this amount, 2 quarts will do. You don't need a large saucepan. And combine the dry ingredients, the sugar, the cornstarch, the salt. And then gradually whisk in the milk. And then add your chocolate. Now, if you're using, a big bar, weigh out what you need, the 6 ounces, and chop it up. Otherwise, just the bars, the squares, they'll do fine. Just put them in. And place this over moderate heat, stirring constantly until the mixture thickens. And then, once it thickens, and that's the cornstarch taking action, let it bubble for 3 minutes. Time it. When it's done, remove it from the heat. You stir in vanilla. Now, vanilla, I know it always sounds crazy. People don't know about these things, that you're putting vanilla in chocolate, but vanilla actually brings out, like salt does, by the way, there's salt in this too, brings out and gives another tone to the dish. So I would use about 2 teaspoons of vanilla. You know, vanilla varies in flavors as well. Once you've stirred that in, and just remove it from the heat, stir in the vanilla gently. You don't have to whip it in. In fact, you shouldn't, because once cornstarch does its thickening job, it doesn't like to be stirred a lot. So pour that into either a bowl, a nice decorative bowl, or maybe a clear bowl, or into individual cups, and if you want to prevent a skin from forming, put a piece of wax paper directly on the surface of the pudding. If you're doing individual cups, it's hard to do. I'm not the kind of guy who's going to be cutting out little circles of wax paper to cover my pudding. But I would just put a plastic wrap over the top. I like the skin that forms.
Oh.
You don't like it?
That's actually what put me off pudding, as my mother aired.
You can prevent it from forming, or you could do what my father did, which I always thought was disgusting. His only eating habit that I didn't like, he used to lift it up and put part of it aside, onto the other side.
Right.
I don't know. He didn't eat it. Maybe at the end he did eat it, because my father was one of those guys who liked to save the best for last. Now I'm thinking, maybe he actually saved to eat it at the end. And he would put a spoonful of heavy cream into his chocolate pudding. For all festive occasions, we had chocolate pudding.
Right, and the spoonful of heavy cream. Somewhere along the line, my problem was I went off milk. I like cream, but pudding with skin. And milk is just my idea of pudding with skin.
Yeah. Well, as I said, this pudding started out as the filling and frosting for a chocolate cake, for a blackout cake. And in the Ebinger days, and you have to duplicate this at home, I'll tell you how, it was covered with chocolate cake crumbs. Now, when I make this myself, I make a 2-layer cake. I cut each baked layer, chocolate layer, in half, and I assemble a 3-layer cake and save one of the now 4 layers to break up and dry out in the oven. This requires some patience because a nice moist cake takes time to dry out and not altogether, burn or something. So you have to do it over very low heat and toss it around a few times and break up the crumbs a few times. But in the end, you get really delicious chocolate cake crumbs that you press into the pudding. Now, this is a dense pudding because it's got to hold to a cake. It iced the cake. And then you have these crunchy cake crumbs on the outside. Almost makes me want to bake one of these now that I'm describing it. I have to say that this recipe, which is in, as I said, New York City Food, has traveled to Italy because I've made it for Cecilia here, and she loved it so much. It's now the birthday cake at the Bellelli farm. You have a birthday party you're going to get. I think Cecilia has given the recipe to Maria, the head cook, and she loves to bake these kind of things. So, anyway, the pudding itself is worth making. Now, the other thing, of course, with chocolate is mousse. And I recently made a mousse that I didn't consider a huge success. So I'm up for making mousse again. But I was weaned on Julia Child's chocolate mousse recipe. How do you feel about mousse?
Love it.
Yeah. Well,
and Did I ever meet
anybody who didn't like chocolate mousse?
I don't know. I mean, you're triggering an old memory. I know someone who doesn't like it, and I'm trying to figure out who they
are.
Yeah,
weird
person. I stopped speaking to them, exactly.
Yeah, or somebody who's just a contrarian. Just to be contrary, they don't like chocolate. I know people who are like that with other foods, but you actually don't meet many chocolate deniers. What are those foods? By the way, besides being possibly a low-carbohydrate food, a low-sugar food, chocolate has polyphenols, which is the same active, whatevers, as in olive oil. Now, when olive oil gets you at the back of your throat, freshly pressed olive oil almost always grips you with this peppery taste
right
at the back of your throat. Yeah, those are the polyphenols. The more the grip, the more the polyphenols, they say. And that's very healthy. Generically, they say it's an antioxidant. I'm not sure it itself is an antioxidant. I think it somehow promotes antioxidity. In any case, it's good for you. And chocolate is up there with olive oil and being rich in polyphenols. And, of course, the darker the chocolate, the more the polyphenols, because of course, the more the cocoa content. By the way, this came up the other day. I was surprised that a friend who's a good cook didn't know the difference between chocolate and cocoa.
Really?
Cocoa is just the dry portion of the roasted chocolate bean. When you have, and the rest of it is fat, and the chocolate fat is actually what white chocolate is. White chocolate is often flavored a little bit with vanilla, but it basically is a chocolate fat. And if you combine the chocolate fat with the cocoa, you get what is, you know, is chocolate.
Yeah.
And hot cocoa is just what is milk with cocoa powder and sugar, but hot chocolate. We used to go to this place in Paris.
Ooh.
Angelina, maybe, is the name, on the Rue de Rivoli. And it was famous for its hot chocolate. And we couldn't figure, the first time I had it, I thought, how do they do this? Because, of course, I was accustomed to American hot cocoa. Not a bad Valentine's Day drink, and you can spike it with something. Good with any kind of brandy. Hot cocoa and brandy. But at Angelina, it was actually hot chocolate. They melted chocolate and cream. And that's, we would call it ganache, but it was served hot. So it was hot chocolate. Maybe there was some milk in there, too. I don't know. It was really, really rich, and they served it in tiny cups. And, of course, it was expensive because, of course, it was this historic. By the way, I read recently that it is being renovated. I hope they don't ruin this place. I don't think they can stop making hot chocolate. It's there. You've been there recently?
I'm looking at it.
You mean online?
Yes, I'm looking at their website. They have expanded, but they're there.
Oh, okay, good. I hope it still looks like it was old, even if it's new, because it was very charming. Well,
it's also very Belle Epoque, so they
Yes, Belle Epoque.
So they're keeping it.
They're keeping that.
Yeah.
So next time anybody's in Paris, go. We once went there because I was there. I was in Paris with my mother, and God knows why, but my mother was craving chicken salad. Try
but
to
that's
find
not
chicken.
Easy.
No, you don't find chicken salad in Paris.
I was attempting.
So maybe nowadays you do, but not 25, 30 years ago.
Yeah.
Anyway, let me just say, a friend said, go to Angelina. They'll have chicken salad. So we did, and it was fantastic. Everybody should serve chicken salad like this. It was a bowl of delicious, moist chicken, boned off the bone in big pieces, a bowl of salad greens, and a bowl of unbelievable mayonnaise. And it was do-it-yourself chicken salad at Angelina, finished with a hot chocolate. I mean, that's a sublime meal.
Totally. There's nothing more to say except
that. Well, so there you go. You could do that for Valentine's
Day. That is a Valentine's Day.
Right?
Right. Absolutely.
I like almost nothing more than chicken and mayonnaise.
Except for chocolate.
Okay, and then finished with chocolate, right?
Yeah.
You don't want to do anything on Valentine's Day that requires you to stay in the kitchen. The whole point is to be together, unless you want to cook together. That's something different.
All right, everybody,
have a happy Valentine's Day. Whatever you do, treat yourself well.
And you and Bob.
Bye.
Bye.
Arthur Schwartz, the Food Maven, here on Robin Hood Radio. Underwriting support for Arthur Schwartz, the Food Maven, from Hathaway Young, located on South Center Street in Millerton, Flawless Catering and Event Planning, HathawayYoung.com. John Andrews Restaurant on the Hillsdale Road in South Egremont, 413-528-3467, on the web, jarestaurant.com. Rubiner's Cheesemongers and Grocers on Main Street in Great Barrington, 413-528-0488, Rubiner's.com. In Hillsdale, New York, Hillsdale Home Chef with two beautiful teaching classes, and they've got classes to go in those cooking rooms. More information, 518-325-7000, hghshomechef.com. And Haven Cafe in Lenox, Massachusetts, offering quality food and excellent service. From a fresh cup of great coffee to healthy, delicious breakfast, or a sit-down with a dinner with a tasty, life-enhancing meal that you can take home. Also, they feature catering. Supporting local organic farmers, environmentally conscious, and epicurious distributors, havencafebakery.com.